Yo ho! Hello, everybody. Fake Ologist here. It is Tuesday, October 19th, 2021, 8:32 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Hello. Talking to you from the North Shore of Lake Unterrible in Toronto, Unterrible, Canada. Broadcasting to you live on the Fake Ologist video and audio network. Our show schedule and all the places you can connect to the show are at fakeologist.com/live. We have two websites. Fakeologist.com and Fakotube.com. Fakeologist.com is where I put all my favorite videos that I find over the day on the internet. And Fakeologist.com is where I post my daily findings. And there's a lot. There's a lot to keep up with right now. It's crazy. The world is imploding on purpose. And I am trying my best to keep up with what's happening. Let us, I almost can't keep up fast enough with the information that's coming on. So let's listen to Chris Sky.
Hello, everybody. This is my great reset. I was doing a lot of thinking and I realized the only way we're all going to get through this is yes, if we come together. But the only way that is going to happen is if each and every one of us evolve into a better version of ourselves, including me. In fact, it has to start with me. So let me take this opportunity to apologize to anybody I ever offended or anybody I was ever harsh to or didn't show the love and compassion that they deserve, even my so-called enemies, because that's how we're going to get through this. When everybody starts showing the love and compassion to everyone else and respecting everybody's space and freedom, we will get through this as one. And we will get through this in a way where we'll come out better on the other side. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Do it one more time and you'll feel a lot better. And let this day be the day that we start fresh. And I'm going to ask every single one of you to do one small thing for me. Just one. I want you to take the time and the effort to simply bring one new person to any event that you're going to anywhere around the world. Just one. And watch what happens.
Well, I still think Chris is real. I know there's tons of suspicion about the guy. The guy, he has money. He's got developer money. I know there's developers in Toronto, and I'm talking huge second or third, I think second generation Italian families. They built much of Toronto. They have billion, they're billionaires. And I can think of a few names. They're common. Muzzo, De Gaspare. There's some huge Toronto money. And I think his dad, Chris's dad, was in on it. I think his dad was into development, probably plugged into the group. And Chris has money. I kind of wish I had his kind of FU money, because then you could really make a go at saying whatever you wanted. I'm sure there's so many people that would love to say what's on their mind, but they're so tied to the system, including doctors. They really can't. And so that, this is a real thing. There, most people live paycheck to paycheck. They're on the edge. But if you're a rich kid like Chris, and I'm not saying he didn't work for his money. He probably was a decent worker. He sounds like, you can tell his work ethic is there because he's running around Canada. He is putting his money where his mouth is. And he is saying what needs to be said. He's saying what no politician says for fear of reprisal or attack. And obviously Chris doesn't care, and therefore I think he's real. I like the guy, and I think he's real. Here's a commercial he made. This is actually pretty funny. I didn't play it. I didn't put it on my site. It's on his Telegram. Go to Real Chris Sky on Telegram. He's got 50,000 subscribers. This is pretty good.
I'm Chris Sky. I've been flying for over 30 years. But since I've been teaching Canadians about their rights and letting them know they can just say no, I've been deemed too dangerous. In fact, I've been labeled a domestic terrorist. So I decided to stop speaking out, live in fear, and know my place. Why? Because I am Canadian.
Canadians, wildly compliant since 1867.
I am
compliant. Yeah, it's funny. That was fun. That was a good commercial. And that's a takeoff of an existing beer commercial from years ago. I thought that was really good. I don't know who put that together. Now, I'm just going through his going through his feed. This is London. London is a little town outside of Toronto. I think it's 300,000 or 400,000 people there. They had a huge turnout for London. And I actually haven't seen this video. By the way, this girl here, this redhead, is the one that got thrown out of the pizza place with her boyfriend. And they pretty much pounded him. One thing when you can produce your own content, it is pretty neat. We are in a pretty cool era where you can create your own channels, your own content. So I haven't even seen this. So this is me being a little bit lazy, just promoting what I think is right. So this is a pretty well done little promo piece, Crusaders of the Resistance. Peteroo, call in and tell me about the crowd in London. I want to hear about it. 902-400-1984. Yeah, give me a call. And hello to the regulars. Hello to Dirty Benny, contributor of the EGI forum at fakeologist.com/forums2. Hello to Stupid. Yeah, Dirty Benny. Yeah, his wife looks like, I think she's a Filipina. And she's definitely had work. I don't think that's a secret. I didn't have a really hard look at her, but I think she could be a female. I don't want to insult Chris, but definitely had some alterations, shall we say. Skate and Destroy, hello. Thank you for chatting with me. Thank you very much. And have a good drive. Peteroo, why don't you call in? Give us a call. You were at the London rally. Tell us if it was real or not. You said he delivered. All right, so there's the call-in number. So let's go back to Chris Guy and see what else he's talking about.
All right, guys, this Saturday, the 23rd, I am in Windsor again, the kickstart of the fourth and final Canadian-wide tour of this year. By far the most important, as we are on the Stop the Vax Pass tour. Starting in Windsor on the 23rd, by the Great Canadian Flag, 2 o'clock. It's going to be just like London. Maybe even better. I cannot wait, and the guy's got to be there.
There you go. Well, the guy has way more energy than I ever can imagine. Let's take a look at Amazing Polly. She has a telegram. I don't know if it's hers, but actually I think I'm behind on the telegram. Let's look at outside the Bill and Melinda Gates headquarters in London.
Group's just arrived outside Bill Gates' office. Loads of police, loads of THG here. Look at the vans. This used to be Britain. This is now totalitarian.
Lots of wind noise. That's okay, I get the gist of it. Yeah, I think Boris the Clown was meeting with Gil Bates. Very good. Okay, I'm just going through my feeds here. Kevin J. Johnson. Yeah, he only got 1,500 votes. The winner got 150,000. So I would say that was a super fail. I like Kevin. I like his crew. Ed especially is my age. He talks the truth. But, yeah, Kevin, if you want to watch him, he'll be on in 15 minutes. He does his own show. A little too much self-promotion for me and not getting to the core of things, but he got pounded. He definitely got pounded. What else do I look at? Yum Naturals. A pretty good thing to look at. Let's see what... oh, Amanda has a bit of a rant here.
Hey, ADV here. I'm driving back from Game On Canada event, which was awesome. And a couple of things I wanted to mention. One being about a couple of things that were discussed on stage and make some corrections. When you have a filter like a virologist or an immunologist that's been indoctrinated into false belief systems like contagion and germ theory.
Fakeologist, hello.
Hey, fakeologist.
Hey, how are you?
Peter here. Good, man.
Who is this, Peter?
Yeah, it's Peter, yeah.
Hey, Peteroo, how you doing?
Good. How am I coming in? I got my headphones on.
You're not on my phone. Not too bad. You're coming through at a pretty good level. By the way, Velasette is sending me a Nuck box that'll be dedicated to sound. So he'll be able to boost. I've got you on full boost, but we'll be able to boost it even more with our software as well. I got hardware boost, and we'll software boost you. So that is... That's going to be coming from Australia shortly, so it should take about a month or two.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't even, yeah. It's funny because we're talking.
Right,
yeah.
Now.
So you were at the rally with Chris Guy.
Yeah, I went out on Saturday. Me and a friend of mine from the area here where I live.
Amazing. Good for you. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, it was, we rolled into London and, you know, all around the Victoria Park, which is the central park in downtown London. There was just you know, no parking at all. People everywhere.
They were ready for everybody, eh?
There were all the areas where parking lots and street parking was just packed with vehicles, right? I think you had the convoy coming from Toronto. That Chris Guy, right, he organized, and then other people just driving in from, you know, various places. But anyway, so that we had to go a few blocks out to find a place to park, walk in. It was just it was really nice to see, like, that, because immediately it was like, oh yeah, this is going to be, you know, for significant numbers. I showed up about a half an hour in, and it was just, yeah, people were just walking in from all angles, and, you know, it felt a bit like a concert in some ways, because there's, you know, you had the main stage at in the middle of the park, and just everyone just gathered around, vendors everywhere, people having fun, you know, chatting, and you know, Sky and others just pumping up the crowd. So there were a few cops lingering here and there. No drama from the police. But at the same time, I don't think, like, I think initially there was the sense that the London Police Department would be more involved with the rally.
Yeah, it was supposed to be their rally.
Yeah, like when he called it, he said, "Hey, you know, they've reached out to me, and we're gonna raise money for their lawsuit, I guess, to fight the mandate." So, I guess it would be the police union was opposing whatever mandate was imposed on them. But I think a few days before the the event, they made a public statement kind of distancing themselves. So the police union made a statement distancing themselves from the rally. But they were, I think, I don't know. So it's a little bit murky, like, you know, how much support was still there behind the scenes. But there was definitely no hassle from the police.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
That's very good to hear.
Yeah. And the there was fundraising. I mean, he was selling T-shirts and hoodies, these Back the Blue, right? So, in you know, allegedly all this money that was raised is going to, you know, I think going towards their court case. So, you know, I don't know.
What's your take on all this? I see they call them anti-lockdown protesters. Like, why can't you just call them pro-freedom, for Christ's sake? What is wrong with people? Definitely pro-freedom. Yeah. I'm just looking at the Twitter feed, just looking up Victoria Park London rally. Didn't get much Twitter action. That's fine. Maybe got more Telegram action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how... I think the local press did some like very like sort of cropped coverage of the event. You know, there was one guy walking around with like Speedos, like sorry, in a Speedo, totally like basically naked in a Speedo with a sign. I don't, you know, again, if you just focus on this guy and then like a couple other people in the picture, and it looks like a crackpot kind of gathering, right? So I saw a little bit of stuff on Twitter portraying it like that.
Okay.
But any aerial shot, any big shot, just showed, you know, yeah, I'd say.
That was huge for London. Least, London is a small town.
Yeah. I'd say at least 4, maybe more thousand. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That was a really good turnout. That was impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you able to, you went with a friend, but were you able to meet anybody?
Just a few random people here and there to, you know, talk to some vendors, and I didn't talk to Chris Sky himself, but,
he's in high demand,
he was selling hoodies. So I didn't buy one of those hoodies, but, that's where he was for most of the time when he didn't hit the stage. So,
yeah,
but yeah, he's got his sort of crew around him, and it's a little bit like a road show they got going on. Right. So
yeah,
I
got no problem with the guy. I really don't. I really am trying to find fault, because obviously that's sort of what I do. Everything is a problem that's promoted in the media. He's not really promoted in the media. He has his own media, which is what is required. Yeah. He's really dumped on in the media, so I really don't see him as one of them. I know this is a psyop, so I know this is a very sophisticated operation all worldwide. And the main thing about the psyop is they have trillions of dollars. I don't know how many trillion. Yeah. It could be 100 trillion. It could be some number that we can't even fathom. But we know there is unlimited money being poured down the throats of all the collaborators. And there are a lot of collaborators. Yeah. There are a lot of collaborators. I'd love to see the salaries of all these public health people. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is a lot of money, even if it's our own funny money that's going to be devalued to garbage in the next year or two. But right now, it's enough to convince them. So I still think part of this is to collapse the money system. And only the people that collaborate are probably going to get some of the new money, but let's see.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, with Sky, like, he seems legit to me. Like, there's a lot of, like, just interesting elements about the guy, right? Like, his you know... Like the tattoos and the whole Rocky Balboa kind of thing going on, and his wife, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this, like, where people are suspicious, right?
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. But that's fine. Yeah, he doesn't look like he doesn't look like the typical Canadian loser, soy boy. Let's be honest, he doesn't.
Yeah. He had this great line where he brought up protests in Italy, right?
And, oh my God! Yeah,
the resistance. Yeah, like Trieste and other places in Italy.
Trieste. Oh, he brought that up. Yeah, that's good. Trieste.
Yeah. Well.
Trieste is off the charts. I posted about Trieste today. I don't even know where it is. I got to look it up. But that's a 24/7 protest right now in Trieste.
Yeah. And I guess, it supplies a lot of Central Europe, right? That port. And totally shut down. Huge resistance there, right? And he brought it, he's like, look at the Italians. And he was just like, I'm Italian. Right?
It says it's a province. It says it's a province in Italy. So, but there's a Trieste square. I'm just looking here at the map. But it looks like a very tiny province. Is this one of these ancient city states, Trieste, where it's just this small little area?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I just know it as.
Oh, sorry. It says it's the capital city of the Friuli Venezia. Giulia region in northeast Italy.
Yeah, and it's kind of tucked into that area between Italy and Austria and Croatia, right?
Yes.
So major shipping through there.
It must be one of these ancient Venetian ports. I guess it is. It's just one of these super important ancient ports. Yeah, you're right. There's Croatia and Slovenia.
Yeah.
Wow. Slovenia, only they gave Slovenia a little section of waterfront. It's almost like they had to give them this little passageway to the water. Otherwise, Slovenia is landlocked. Interesting. Yeah. Maybe there was some agreement to give them just this slice of land so they could access a port. Isola is the port. But so Trieste is under 24/7 protest. I guess in the Piazza Unità d'Italia.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the Italians had, it was just a few days ago, wasn't it, where they had some kind of deadline where everybody had to be vaccinated
to get the quack part.
Everybody, if you anybody that had a job to go to, like outside of the home, I think that was my understanding of it. And,
look at the cruise ship in the port there. Yeah, it's got capacity for cruise ships. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I was planning on traveling in my later years. Oh well, guess I screwed that plan up. I would have loved to go to Italy. Italy is definitely a place to go.
Yeah. Well, don't give up hope.
Well, I got probably another 25 years to live as the average Canadian lifespan. And I've lived extremely healthy, and that's another reason why I won't get the injection, because I've tried too hard to stay healthy. So why would I kill myself now? I mean, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. I've done everything right. So now I'm not going to screw it up in the more difficult health-wise point of the average man's life in his 50s. A very dangerous time for most men in their 50s. If you can get through your 50s, you're going to live your whole life. That's sort of the normal way of thinking. 50 is a turning point, is a junction point for most men.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
I was talking to a buddy, a friend of mine he's getting heart surgery this week, and he's in his 40s.
That's too young.
To your point. And then I was talking to another friend of mine I was working with today, and he knows a few people that are lined up. And I don't know if it's, you go in for screening and you're getting this stuff unnecessarily, or what's to it. But definitely, if you go to the hospital and they you get the tests and they say, oh, you got this amount of blockage, and you could be lined up for, for heart surgery pretty easily, right?
I didn't even know they were still doing them.
Oh, yeah, they are. Well, yeah. Hmm. I think...
I thought everything was on hold.
No, I think that's one. I think that's the one area where they're going full steam ahead.
Oh wow!
I know. Well, my friend's booked for Friday, right?
Where is he getting it done?
St. Mike's.
Oh, downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
The Heart Hospital is the Peter Monk Heart Center just on the other side of Toronto. Of the downtown. Mm-hmm. Surprised he's not going there. That's the main mm-hmm. heart center for Toronto, but okay. I'm sure they do a good job at St. Mike's. So he's getting a valve job or a...
He's
getting a valve job or an artery job?
I guess artery, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Grabbing it out of the leg.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. But to your point, I was just agree, you know, like if you make it to 50 without that happening, then... You're doing something right?
Yeah. I think there's an argument that vaccines can cause heart disease because they the aluminum, it just causes so much trouble in your mm-hmm. electrical, platelet, red blood cell systems. It's really crazy, actually.
Yeah. I was going to say, I missed your... podcast for a few days ago, but remember you were talking about the vaccine potential vaccine deaths from the of the university students.
Yes, that is correct.
You looked into it. You're a little suspicious, eh? Like of
I was one of the girls. Their Instagram definitely looked manufactured.
I caught that just your post where you're like, I appreciate some bikini shots, but yeah, did it?
I didn't look into it. I think that girl was fake. It's so hard to tell. It's a full-time job trying to sort this out. And then of course I hear, I'll play a bit of a video of this that I heard on the way home. It was on Rebel News and then Odessa did an interview. I put it on FACO too because I thought the parents were real. And this girl got the Moderna injection. She went from a 20, now she's 22. I know that's in the hoax code number. But she went into becoming, I would say, semi-paraplegic.
She spent 2 weeks in hospital. You know, neurologists look at her. She had two MRIs, lumbar puncture. And essentially, they couldn't determine what was the cause of this. Anytime she told people, they all asked her, did you have the vaccine? And she told them, and immediately kind of the eyebrows went up, but no one specifically was willing to say that this was connected, right? But they weren't able to find anything else. They ruled out everything else.
She was actually receiving, like, hate mail to her personal email account telling
to her,
calling her a hate monger.
To me, it's criminal in terms of what's happening with an experimental shot that hasn't been fully tested. Like, it's still in trial stages, and they're mandating it for people. Like, it's just, I mean, where, in what world is that right?
Well, I just can't believe that in Canada, in British Columbia, they can actually do something like that. You know, I thought it was a free country, you know. Freedom of choice, freedom of speech, freedom to live.
I just listened to this. I didn't watch it, so mm-hmm. I wasn't able to watch mm-hmm. when I was driving home the facial expression. So I'm going to put it down in the, well, everything is suspicious, but mm-hmm. it sounds mm-hmm. possible. Mm-hmm. So this is a shot, of course. It's not a vaccine. It's a treatment. It's an mm-hmm. injection that mm-hmm. has a 95% effective rate to lower the symptoms of a cold. Now, would you take Tylenol or cold medication to maybe dry out your nose or help out your cold? It won't change the trajectory or the time of your cold.
Yeah.
It'll leave it. Would you take that if the one of the possibilities was permanent heart damage or paralysis? I don't think so. I think you'd tough it out. I think you'd buy a box of Kleenex and just tough it out. So the idea, this is what we're being sold. If anyone that makes that choice, it's like deciding to run across the 401 in Toronto. You might make it. And what is the benefit? Yeah. And what is the benefit of running across our 20-lane highway? There's really almost no upside. You could have walked to the nearest interchange and taken the bridge.
Yeah.
It would have been slow.
Yeah. I just reminded of a friend, sort of a guy I know who lives in New York, and he's from Ontario though, and I saw this Facebook post from the other day, and he had a flight to come home, visit his family and friends, and fully vaccinated. This guy was first in line for it, and touting it and the vax selfie and all this stuff, right?
And
he tested, so I guess you still need the test to get on the plane. So he tested positive.
breakthrough. They have an explanation for everything. They call that a breakthrough.
Yeah. So then his post. No, I don't see his post because he unfriended me on Facebook.
What?
You know, yeah. Well, he's just, you know, he's a friend, but he just can't handle, like, you know, it's like, you know, we had some arguments and he's just, can't handle even discussing it, right? But I saw the post, and it was, thank God I got the vaccine. I tested positive, but I feel fine. I have no symptoms. But, thanks to the vaccine, right?
Of course.
And then he went on saying that, everybody should get it. Everybody needs to get it. This isn't a personal choice anymore. I want life to get back to normal. I miss my family and friends. And it was just like, this guy's a journalist. And I'm just like, actually, it's kind of refreshing in some ways knowing he's a journalist, because I think, it kind of tells you that a lot of journalists are so caught up in the propaganda, they just believe it themselves, right?
Well, they're being paid. Let's get back to basics. Yeah. You're being paid. If you're being paid, are you going to say anything negative about your boss?
Yeah. And they internalize it, right? Like they're being paid, and I don't think all of them, but.
They are all, they're all being paid indirectly or directly.
Yeah.
All, listen, I don't think Rebel News is getting paid. They rely on online begging, which I'm not against, because I do it too. I'm an online beggar. Yeah. I'm barely better than the guy at the end of the highway ramp with the cup saying, drop in a dollar. I get that. It's kind of shameful, and I don't do it because I have to, but I just do it because I want to give people the option. But if I lost my job, I'd be begging super hard right now. I'm okay. Right. I don't need the money. I'm happy if people just listen to my broadcast and share it and help get my unique word out, because I think I'm the only one that talks. Yeah, I'm the only one with my views, because there's only one of me, for sure. But I'm the only PSYOP, media fakery, 9/11, vaccine damage, COVID's aware person that I know. And I promote all the people that are really close to my way of thinking, like Amanda Vollmer. She's a little out there on certain things, but for the most part, we've got an 85%, 90% overlap right there.
Yeah. I don't know if you're into the mud flood, but...
No. Not really. See,
I think she goes there a little bit.
But, yeah, exactly.
But
that's
she's
fine.
Great. I mean,
let her go there.
I like her. Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that's going to say this, because I was trying to figure out, because I still think we're all vaccine damaged, but I still think that the younger you are, the closer you are to your youthful quaccines. So I was trying to figure out how I can help my daughter, and my wife looked it up, and she put in here, because I want to know, how do you get the aluminum out of your system? Because if you still have rashes and whatnot, ongoing detoxing where your body's trying to express out the toxins, You probably need mm-hmm. to detox. And like I said, my daughter has a skin condition, so I want to help her without mm-hmm. just applying Band-Aids in the form of steroids, which do nothing except mm-hmm. just relieve the symptoms, but they don't. So anyway, she looked it up and says, give yourself a detox bath. A detox bath will help draw toxins such as aluminum out of the tissues and out of the body. To detox mm-hmm. through your feet, fill a foot basin with water as hot as you can comfortably stand and add half a cup mm-hmm. of Epsom salt and a half cup of... Mm-hmm. Oh, what's the, I got cut off here. What's the rest of it? What's the rest of it that you're supposed to put in? Okay.
Epsom salts and... Yeah.
There's something else there. I cut off the email. I just realized that now. Let me look at the archive here and see... what is it? Oh, and half a cup of sea salt. Hey, okay. Frank, sea salt. So let me put the rest in here. I just put it in the show notes here. And a half, or mm-hmm. in the Fecologist, FecoTube chat. And half a cup of sea salt. Soak feet for at least 35 minutes or until water cools. Rinse feet with lukewarm water and gently rub the skin dry to remove expelled toxins. It seems a little hocus pocus to me, but hey, at least you're...
I've heard that before, though. Yeah?
Yeah. You can really get toxins out of your feet?
I've heard it before, you know.
Okay.
I don't dismiss that.
All right. Well, I might try it myself. Yeah. I heard you're supposed to ground yourself by getting a grounding pad for your feet. So when you're sitting down, you should be grounding yourself. Because when we live in a house, we're not grounding ourselves because we're obviously not walking around on the grass or in our mud hut.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know a guy around, like, where I live here, he's basically given up on wearing shoes. His whole thing is just as much grounding as possible, right? Just bare feet.
It does sort of make sense, because we are electrical. There's no doubt if, at the very minimum, our heart has a very, I would say, relatively to modern electricity, a weak electrical signal that makes our heart beat. I think most of us mm-hmm. agree with that. So that means there is some electrical generation of some sort in our body. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Andrew Molden, I hope you've been able to watch his stuff. He was expressing that the electrical field around just red blood cells is, I believe, 15 microamps to 100 microamps. And when you add aluminum mm-hmm. into your system, it completely short circuits all these things. So that's why they start to clump, because they're all of a similar charge, they're repelling each other, so it keeps them from clumping, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So when you add a toxin to your blood, it just throws everything off, and that's what causes ischema, microclotting, and
mm-hmm.
that's what causes
heart disease and stuff like that too.
Yeah, because it causes microclotting. Yeah. If you got microclotting in your coronary arteries, that's what a heart attack is. If you have it in your brain, that's what a stroke is. If you have microclotting of the capillaries that go to the extremities of your pancreas, of your body, which includes the pancreas, the brain, the pancreas doesn't have pain receptors. Neither does the brain. So when you're microclotting in those areas, you don't feel it. You don't even know. And the further of the story that I was posting here with the lady in British Columbia that got the clot shot, they can't detect it. They don't have a test that can test it. Now, there is the D-dimer test that I just heard of this year where it can measure the clotting rate or the clotting levels in your blood. Okay,
The microclotting.
Yeah, but you can't. There is no MRI that can detect microclotting in the brain. So if some of the, like this woman that's in this feature, she couldn't walk. So that means obviously there was some damage, nerve damage that controls her lower body.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably emanates from the spinal column. So she probably had some nerve damage there. And that's from microclotting to that area. And basically... Yep. When the blood doesn't flow to certain areas and there's toxin in that area from the white blood cells that are carrying the aluminum, it can permanently damage those nerves. No doctor can test for that. They might be suspicious of it, but that was the area that Andrew Molden was exploring. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And then, I haven't watched, I watched a little bit of the first video I think you posted, but
good.
I haven't been able to keep up with it.
Well, I put a few small clips. I put some small clips.
Yeah. But yeah, he was, I guess the suspicion he was taken out, right?
Yeah.
Like he was young, right?
He was my age. He was my age. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have been. He was definitely, people were accusing him of selling snake oil. Okay, maybe he had some solution because the solution, if you believe aluminum is the problem like he did, would be to get the metals out of your system. I didn't even look into it. I don't think I don't think you're going to get rich selling any of your solutions for the most part.
Yeah.
Not rich in the way.
But
his
ideas. Like raking it in.
It's his ideas that need to be evaluated. It's not the person and it's not what he was selling to survive because we all need to eat. It was what he's talking about. Is it all complete BS or is it on to something? I think it is. I really do.
No, it makes sense, man, because it's, it seems like the real pandemic is, has to do with heart disease and blood clotting, circulation, right? All these problems in the blood and the with the heart.
Society was sick before the pandemic.
Yeah.
The healthcare system was being ripped off by the drug lords a long time ago. It was already under strain like any free or insurance-based system. The education system was not effective anymore. The debt system wasn't working. The system was ripe for collapse. It was ripe.
Yeah.
It was ripe to be blown up. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
This is the method that they've chosen. To use the phony virus to scare the hell out of everybody. And while they're all being scared, they're blowing up the economy.
Yeah.
And many people would agree it had to be blown up anyway. It did. It had to be because it had run its course. Just like anything else, like a television series, usually they do an extra season too long. They could have left on a high note, but no, they run it for another couple seasons right into the ground, and then it leaves a bad taste. That's sort of what's happened with the economy, with the debt system, with the healthcare system. The healthcare system, I was saying for years, how are they going to take care of all these baby boomers? These baby boomers are already looking pretty unhealthy overall. They're going to crash the healthcare system. But then I was thinking selfishly, if all the baby boomers went and into the healthcare system and it expanded greatly to accommodate them. Well, I'm after the baby boomers, so that would leave me lots of room to make use of the healthcare system because they would have expanded it for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
But of course,
there'd be, as they move on, there'd be a big void to fill, right?
Right. But now we see they're not really going to expand the healthcare system.
Yeah.
Instead, they're going to block the healthcare system, and that's what they've been doing for a year and a half, and just really shutting the door and saying, don't come in, we're not expanding it. The only thing they're expanding that I can see with my own eyes in Toronto is the old people warehousing system. There's construction everywhere of old age care homes, like as in hotel style, going vertical.
Right, okay.
So
long-term care facilities, but just like condos.
You got it, and they're being built vertically all over the Toronto. It's everywhere.
Oh, sorry. Then you just give them a vaccine every 6 months until they croak, basically.
Yeah, well, I think many of them are already getting the flu shot before, and I don't. Just my investigation of there's no such thing as a safe vaccine. They don't do anything.
Oh,
it's voodoo science.
I agree.
There's no such thing. They don't exist. It's 250-year-old voodoo.
Yeah. I know a lady that works at she used to work. She got forced out of her job, but at the long-term care facility where my grandmother is.
Okay.
And she's just holding on, and my mother didn't give them approval to vaccinate her with flu shots or with these COVID shots. But they already rolled out the boosters there, right?
Okay.
And, so this woman, I've talked to her. She said that she saw with the booster after the third one that she saw people dying with a handful of people dying within a 2 days, basically.
Whoa.
Right?
Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, these are people that they're super old, but I mean, I believe that, you're that old with a bunch of other problems.
It pushes them over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely pushes you over the edge. Just an injection of poison, right?
Yeah. 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 For sure. For sure. And let's be honest, a lot of old people want to go. I know even my mother-in-law, she's 92. And her son, we were against it. Her son insisted she get injected. So she still has sound mind. I can't force her not to. So it's really her decision. Mm-hmm. So she did it. And we told her again, this could kill you. And she said, I'm fine. I'm ready to go. She's okay with dying tomorrow. So it's you can't really argue with that when they are of sound mind.
Yeah.
So if you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was she okay?
She's okay. She's fine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I still think that goes to the other part of the equation. I think 85% of these things are placebo at this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not willing to take my chances with 15%. Those are pretty bad odds. Those aren't odds I'm taking.
I think they must be like you're saying, a lot of placebo, a lot of saline.
They have to be because they want to sell this thing to be on subscription. They want everyone to get the idea to take it every 90 days. Because that's the only way they can keep their digital ID up to date and relevant. Because if you really didn't need your digital ID, even if you were given it, you probably wouldn't use it. But now you're going to be forced to use it if you have to constantly show it everywhere you go. And it has to be up to date. And it has to be refreshed every 90 days. I wouldn't be happy with a digital ID. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they've linked it to injections of poison, this really makes it impossible for too many people like me.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of being controlled, but I already live a very conservative, controlled life. I could probably adapt to it. I wouldn't like it. But it's the injection part that I'm against because I'm really against vaccination. I'm really against everything that it stands for. It's history. It's all voodoo, and I don't want it.
Yeah. It's the thing that makes it really suspicious, the whole digital identification rollout, right? So if they had a soft kill in mind, it's the perfect delivery, right?
Absolutely. And they can implement it anytime. If they're going to stick to this, then they could be implemented anytime. So literally anyone that comes along in the future, a year down the road, that says, listen, we've got this problem with old people over here. We want to really make this area of the world more efficient. Let's just put the kill shot. Let's trim the herd by 20%. Then we'll have room for 20% of all these excess human beings over on this part of the earth. We'll bring them over here. That is the ultimate goal. The open borders is to be able to move people around the world where there's resources, where there's harvesting required. It's just centralized control on steroids that we can't even imagine.
Very selective, right? Selective moving. Not free movement. But,
I think so.
But yeah.
I really think so. I think that they just don't want countries to have control over their own borders. So if they can move people where they're required. So, for instance, Italy, they're not reproducing. If they could move 100,000 Nigerians, if Nigeria really has 100 million people all packed into that country, and they say they want to build a power plant or something in Italy, and they don't have the manpower, if they could just permanently or quickly move millions of people or whatever it's required, they could do it with open borders. And if you have human inventory on the blockchain where you know where everyone is, you know their health, you know their, you know everything about them, my God, that would be just a manager, corporate manager's dream to be able to move human resources as easily as natural resources. You can just imagine the opportunities. It's crazy.
And you're almost conditioning people to think of themselves, right, as resources.
Yeah.
With all this compliance, you know, like this stepping up these compliance systems or rituals.
Yeah.
To this level, right? Yeah.
Just tell them you don't belong to a country. You belong to the world, and we'll move you wherever it's beneficial for the world. And we don't want to pave over Brazil because we want the rainforest. So we'll just move those people over to where we need them, to these declining countries, because we've destroyed the community by taking the women out of the communities, out of the homes, and putting them in the workforce. So they can just transplant these excess human resources from here to here. Yeah, that's where it's going, and that is the end game. But the part that's really difficult is to, you need the shot, you need the injection to convince people that they have to subscribe to this at all times and carry it with them.
Yeah, the fear of it provides that element of fear that onboards people, right? To
and keep them onboarded.
This digital identification. So, to the open borders thing. I was looking at an article the other day, but apparently Canada, like starting early next year, they're going to be opening the borders. I think they've got four or 500,000 target of for immigrants coming in to make up for the last, 2 years. And that's a plan that, they'll have in place for the next several years, where they'll be letting in more than normal.
Yeah, but on the flip side, Canadians don't replace themselves. So there's always if you want to maintain or keep the economy growing, you have to just bring in more demand by bringing in more people.
Yeah.
So that keeps the Ponzi scheme going. Between automation and immigration and the decline of the native population all around the world, this is why they want this freedom to move people around. And if they have everyone on the blockchain, so everyone is on the computer and inventorized, they can move people easily and just say, listen, you don't belong to this country. There's no paperwork. There's no sovereignty. So the people of that country cannot oppose what we want to do because they're just human resources in Brussels or Zurich or Geneva, wherever the world headquarters is going to be. You can just be moved around on the world chessboard like that. Just send a plane, pick them up. Give them housing, whatever. If the government owns all the housing by forcing relinquishment of private property, it just boggles the mind the control you could have. If you were a dictator, this is what you need. So, now, if people knew all this, if they just read a little bit about the plan. Because the plan is out there. It's not being hidden. If people just try to look ahead one or two steps from today, now, if they want that, okay, it's different. We should vote on it, probably, if voting mattered, which it doesn't. But I don't think people would want that, personally.
Mm-hmm. No. And even, the idea that there is a plan, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
For a lot of people, they can't accept that, you know. They just
Yeah, they think the world is random.
Yeah, just history unfolding. It's the government's just responding.
Yeah, everything is a reaction.
They're just on their toes, you know, like it's a deadly pandemic and this is honestly, a lot of educated people I know that's what they think, you know. And if you point out, you know, the white papers, the document, like just the all the evidence for the agenda, you know, the planning that's gone into it, the, you know, and even all the just the little hoodwinks and, you know, things dropped over the years. It's hard to convince these people. So, yeah.
All right, so you like the Chris Sky, you enjoyed it. Would you recommend going to these rallies? Did you get some positive energy out of it?
Yeah, I got, just back to that. Yeah, to be with a group like that size in London, you know, which is about 400,000 city.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a provincial size city, right?
Yeah.
400,000.
Yeah.
So it was a good turnout for that area. And, yeah, the energy was high. The message was positive. I mean, he seems to think that the tide's turning. You know, this was one of his messages. He was, and that's where we segued with the thing about Italy.
Right.
He was talking a lot about Italy and France and what's going on in Europe. You know, on some level, all this resistance that's going on, you know, is this just going to lead into is this just sort of playing, are we playing into some kind of economic takedown or, you know, in the case of the U.S., like not civil war, but just sort of disintegration of the social fabric. And I don't know. I think Chris Sky also thinks that there's, you know, maybe like, you know, the way the government's pushing so hard with all the mandates and it's creating a lot of tension and dysfunction, right? That it will just kind of fold into the next planned lockdown, which I think he's projecting like November, sometime like early November,
yeah.
Like coming up quick, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know.
You don't know. You don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you can see how pushing all of these mandates creates this pushback and, well, you know, this chaos that kind of comes out of that, will that be used to, create just another, more draconian type lockdown? You still have a good percentage of the population that's buying into the propaganda. So if there's snap lockdowns that happen in Canada in November, you can blame it on vaccinated variants, you know, the whole passport system that they rolled out. Do you see it as being like functional? Like, I mean, maybe around like where I'm at, I just don't see it as being, I see it as causing a lot of problems, right? Like it's just normal functioning of things.
Well, yeah,
it's almost
screwing my children's lives up. They can't even get a job.
Yeah. So like, is it part of it just to create that dysfunction on purpose? You know, I don't know.
Well, they have to have the Quacksport because its main purpose is the digital ID 2020, so they can just catalog and track people and control their every move. Your free will is over. You will not be able to function in the economy. It serves so many purposes. It's just basically your controller that goes with you. It's more important than you, the body. It's you. It's
your data.
It's your ID. It is your computer that will control your movements. You'll be doing what the computer says you can do. So you can't just take a year off or drive across town or fly over here. All of that is going to be controlled. All free will is gone. That's the purpose of it.
Do you see the way it's being rolled out? Do you think it's sort of to get it to that next step, like that they require another big lockdown? Do you think that's in the pike, or?
I think if they don't get or do you think
they'll just kick it down the road a little bit?
I think it just depends the take up, the acceptance level in every area. The acceptance level, I think they're leaving Scandinavia alone because I think their take up level of technology and digital ID must be high. I don't know, because I don't know what. We don't get to know these numbers. All the numbers are simulated. We only get to know what they want us to know. But I'm guessing that the take-up of digital ID is high in Scandinavia. So they don't need to force these things. I don't even know if they're using QuackSports in Scandinavia. It's really hard to keep track of what's going on where.
Yeah. I heard in Denmark, that they dropped the vaccine mandates and passport, but then that they're still pushing the digital identification and digital currency, right? So if you get those areas, if you got uptake in those areas,
then yeah. Well, yeah. So if they're so far advanced in those areas, then they want the rest of the world to catch up. So they might leave these guys alone while the rest of the world catches up. Or the different countries in their area catch up. So everyone is on a different schedule because people are slightly different in different areas. I'm just wondering if they can ever drop the injection. So maybe those of us that are holding out and not being injected because we don't believe in poison, maybe we'll get past the injection part of the digital ID. And so, for instance, if there is 80% take up of the digital ID and people are just accepting of it, will they be able to somehow drop the injection part of it? I don't know. That would be my guess is they might be able to, but I'm not sure.
With enough. Yeah. And I think that scam can only run for so long. I think, I mean, if you look at the history, right, of vaccine rollouts, you know, where they just, you know, it seems like it has a shelf life of only so long before it starts to just collapse. So, like in this case, where push. But
I think the whole vaccine scam was already fading fast. I think there were, because of people doing their own research, even though it's a small number, the word was spreading that these things are not good for you. It's ancient voodoo. Alchemy, and it's hurting people. Don't do it. And they're creating enough medically dependent people by injuring them that it becomes too noticeable. For instance, autistic children. It's all vaccine damage. It's nothing else. It can't be anything else.
Yeah.
Type 1 diabetes going off the charts. Yeah. All kinds of autoimmune disease. So it becomes very obvious that nothing that the medical system says is the cause, and usually they say they don't know. So it's not helping, so there's medical problems starting to pile up. So maybe they decided, well, the gig is up. We are going to have to either come clean or drop it altogether or just force it on people. So, because people do have access to information and they're actually using some of the access to information to their benefit and to our detriment. So I think that could have been a real thing that was happening over the last 20 years.
Yeah. And this is some kind of extreme.
Well,
countering this with this extreme PSYOP, right? Over the top.
Well, it's this extreme use of vaccination, so everyone has to have one. Yeah. Because enough people were declining them, they knew the scam. Now we're basically, in no uncertain terms, forcing it on people. There's no way. Yeah. They can call it voluntary all they want, but if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, sounds like a duck, then it's a duck. It's mandatory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Through coercion.
Has it affected your work at all at this point, or?
Not yet.
I guess not, right? Like,
not yet. I haven't been, no mandates where I am yet.
Yeah.
In my field, in my company, it's, yeah. We'll see.
Or just places you got to go, or?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
We'll see, because I'm in a sort of an essential service as far as I'm concerned. So mm-hmm. I think they might leave construction and transport until the end. I heard that in the United States, part of the Biden omnibus bill, one of these infrastructure bills, you know how they cram a million things into one bill, that they are going to require cross-border truckers to show their passport. Now, I'm not a cross-border mm-hmm. trucker, but if that is really mandated, it's mostly the Southeast Asians that go to California to get Ontario's food. Let's face it, mm-hmm. a good chunk of our food comes from California starting now until May. So if they yep. make all these dudes get the passport, if they don't get them, that is going to screw up our food supply. Because
mm-hmm.
all our fresh fruit and vegetables is trucked in from Mexico and Southern California.
Yeah.
I don't think they do yeah. fly some of a lot of, well, you can see yourself. They do fly a lot of it from South America, and even I think my grapefruits come from Israel in the winter. Mm-hmm. But I would say the bulk of it comes by truck. So if that mandate goes through for the quack sports for truckers, because right now there's no mandate. Truckers are going over the border, no issues. There's commercial traffic, mm-hmm. but they mandate yeah. it. I don't know how many of the new Canadians that dominate the trucking are going to comply. I'm guessing it's a pretty yeah. high compliance because they're afraid they'll be kicked out of Canada because mm-hmm. most of them are been here only a year or two. But we'll see. There's a lot of things, a lot of variables. It's not just yeah. Canada. Yeah. It's Biden is...
Yeah,
obviously.
Complete madness. Do you see like supply? Do you see some like dark winter supply chain shit happening? Food shortages, anything like that? Like,
well, yeah, just based on what I just said with trucking, I think it's possible.
Yeah.
Canada.
I mean, I'm stocking my pantry myself. Like, just every time I go to the grocery store, I'm just buying a little extra.
Yeah. This well, yeah, you can get basic canned goods, I think. That's okay. Yeah, yeah. But I'm talking, if you like fresh fruit and vegetables, it might be a little more difficult to get your raspberries. So maybe you should stock up on your flash frozen fruit and vegetables. That would probably be smart. Maybe you'll have to get a bigger freezer.
Yeah.
To get through the winter.
But yeah, even if it can even just be the creation of panic, too, right? Where, my wife was at the grocery store this evening. This is in Goderich, but the meat, the beef, like there was no beef on the shelves. Yeah, the beef coolers.
I think my wife. My wife took a picture of the banana section the other day. There was one bunch, and the whole 25 feet of three levels of shelving was blank, but. That could just be quite a few things, driver shortages, nobody in the store. I know Walmart, every business in Toronto is hiring right now. Every business that you've never seen an advertisement for employees is got a sign out front looking for people.
This is funny. When I was in London on Saturday, we were looking for a coffee, but like, all the Tim Hortons were, because we were on the road, right? So all the Tim Hortons, they were all just doing drive-through.
Yeah, and no sit-in.
My buddy was just saying that that there's just employee shortages at every Tim Hortons in the city there.
Yeah.
So they can't run the takeout in store.
Right.
You know?
Well, they probably don't even want people. They probably lock the door.
Yeah, I mean, it's
because they probably don't even want any conflicts with the quack sports, so it's just easier to lock the front door and make you do the drive through thingy.
Yeah.
I guess if you don't have a car, you got to walk up to the drive through. So yeah. I don't know.
The same the same guy, he had the cops, he was arrested out of Tim Hortons like a couple of weeks ago. Just testing it out, testing the passport out. Ordered a coffee, sat down. They tried to kick him out. He said, "Yeah, I'm not leaving." And they called the police on him, but he waited for 40 minutes.
So yeah, the police are a little slow.
They're not rushing. And he was done his coffee. He was just like waited around, just curious to see what would.
Yeah. I hope he videoed
So yeah, in the end, he got a trespassing ticket, but it was after. You know, the police gave him several chances to leave and get out of it, but they reluctantly gave him a trespassing ticket. And part of it was because, which is one of the darker aspects of this is with people that have their kids in sports, right?
Yes.
For him, his son's in hockey and he's 11, his son. So he can't go into the arenas to watch the practices, right?
Yeah, I know. About his children? Are they have to be vaccinated too, don't they, or no?
Not if you're under 12.
Under 12, that's true.
Yeah. But it's only looking like, you know, it looks like it could be by the end of the year, you know, the 5 to 11.
Well, you know what? All these parents should start their own league. The only problem is getting ice. Obviously, we can't get our own ice rink going until the depths of the winter, but these buildings with ice, they're not going to let you in.
Yep.
But you know what? Play street hockey.
Yeah.
Just do something else.
Parallel society.
Yeah, for sure.
For however long it takes, right?
I think up where you are, there's supposed to be an emergency room doctor in Owen Sound. She was fired.
Yeah.
And she's trying to raise money to start her own medical thing going up there. It's a little bit far for me to go, but you could probably participate in that.
Yeah, it's a little far from here too, but
It's
probably might be equal distance from Toronto.
If she's going to start her own medical system, I know she's crowdfunding. Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's going to take you can't just build a parallel society overnight because, number one, you're hedging that, the regular society will go back to normal, so you don't want to start something new and then with the possibility the old society will come back, which I doubt it will. So it'd be a huge risk. You got to wait till the old society just collapses before you're going to be able to get any kind of investment. Nobody's going to invest in something that might not be necessary. So unfortunately everything has to come to the ground.
Yeah.
Tunac says they'll arrest her for practicing medicine without a license. That's I think she's selling a private medical something or other, but I think you can't do natural medicine in North America. That's why people have to go to Mexico. They've got everything covered. They got everything covered. But Amanda is not a licensed naturopath. She stayed out of the regulation, but she can still, I don't know what she can do to supply advice. I don't know how she can do it, but she can still have something to do with it. Maybe she can't advise you directly. Maybe she can just in general say, this is what you could try, but she can't probably say, I'll test you to see what you need. Maybe that's what she can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuna says, at the end of the day, they want you dead from vax, starving. They don't care. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Population reduction. Yeah.
Control.
I think it's part of it. Yeah. Population control.
Well, they want to get rid of the people that are in their way.
A little culling of the herd.
Sure. Well, they want to get rid of the people that are in their way. So they'll cull them. And the other people from other parts of the world, they want to get them on the blockchain so they can move them around, move them in place. Mm-hmm. I know what I do can be. I can be replaced overnight, probably. But everybody can be replaced. You might not like the replacement. You might not like that doctor trained in a... another country, or you know what? They might end up being better.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows? All right, Skate.
What do you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, just in terms of what you know, what's on the horizon. Remember, I think last time I talked to you, we were talking about the timeline to tyranny, right?
Right.
And the.
Oh yeah, that's kind of old now. Is there an update on that?
That went off the rails a little bit, I guess.
I thought it was pretty accurate the whole time.
It was accurate up to the enhanced, like the martial law, basically, and all that stuff that was scheduled for, I think, maybe just last month. So maybe it's coming next month. I don't know, but
yeah.
I was just wondering what you think about that prospect. Like, do you see that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they really need it. Yeah.
Yeah, because some people, you know, you hear little rumors of, or maybe it's, you know, fear mongering, or I heard something about it in Saskatchewan. They were prepping for checkpoints and, you know, basically an enhanced martial law style lockdown. Yeah, like you said, you know, do they need it? Is it just, you know, part of the.
Well, I think it was all in that 2018 movie with Dr. Tam. It's kind of nice. I don't hear from her much in Canada at all.
Thank you.
I know she's out there, but she did a movie or there was a documentary in 2018. And
yeah,
they proposed all the things you're talking about.
You're talking about that TVO.
Yeah, it was a TVO, yeah.
Yeah. Where it was in Montreal and she talked, well, basically, it was a docudrama, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't even know if I watched it. Did I watch that?
I saw a clip. But she basically in that docudrama introduced the idea of the checkpoints, the mandatory quarantines, mass vaccination, basically medical martial law, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. What was it called? It's hard to find because now she's in everywhere.
I thought it went back a little further than 2018. Like it was more like, you know, 2013, 14, something like that.
But that was TVO, huh? TV Ontario, as we say.
Yeah, I think so. What a ghoul.
Oh, my God.
Is she a man or what?
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. She wouldn't pass. Has Dirty Benny, is he still on the call? Has he done a transvestigation on Dr. Tam? We'll have to take a look.
Yeah. I call her Tim Tam.
Oh, I don't like use the name Tim. Well,
sorry, I know that's your name, but the Australian fans would know the most popular chocolate wafer cookie in Australia is called Tim Tam.
Oh, right.
I have you ever heard of them?
No.
No.
They're, I could look
you
it
can
up.
Find them like at yeah, find them at Sobeys or something, but here in Ontario. But yeah, they're like the cookie of Australia.
Well, that's funny. I just did a quick search on Fakeologist forums. I don't think Dirty Benny has done anything on Dr. Tam. But by the way, that's how fast. I did a really fast search of Dr. Tam on the Fakeologist forums. It's lightning fast. So, guys, if you got any info, do like Dirty Benny is doing, post it on fakeologist.com/forums too. Lots of stuff there. And it's just a really good way of finding stuff and posting stuff. The coronavirus, folks, 2020 has 90 topics, 785 posts, which isn't that many, but there's quite a bit of stuff here. The forum is pretty fast. Dirty Benny just put a post up of Rachel Levine becomes the first transgender 4-star officer as she is sworn in as the admiral of the public. What is this? Dirty Benny put that up here. Oh, I see. The Public Health Service Commission Corps. All right. 4-star general. Way to go. Oh, my God. The aliens. This is what they meant by the aliens are running society. It's
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. All right.
Anyway, yeah, it's been a good chat.
Yeah, very good chat. Skate and Destroy said, great call, Peter Roo. So
thank
it was
you.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah, very good.
Yeah, no,
good.
It's great to catch. Great to catch up with you. It's yeah, wanted to call in the summer at some point, but
oh yeah, has it been just, that long?
You know, time. Well, I talked to you in the spring, and you know, I feel like I had lots to talk to you about. But
yeah.
Time goes, and you know, summer was. I had a really busy summer. I got dealing with my kids; they're pretty young, and
good for you.
Just you know, weeks go.
Hey,
you know,
got
fly by and,
you got yeah. Steve 83 in Stratford, just down Highway 8 there from you. Should meet up with him. He just had his third child.
Oh yeah, he's in Stratford.
Yeah, that would be a pretty good fecologist connection for you there.
I
like to help people get together. Steve 83 hasn't been in the chat for a week or two, but he is a regular, or used to be. Maybe his baby got him tied up there, but might be a good connection for you there, Steve 83.
Yeah, well, I go to Stratford. I moved, but I still go there about once a week.
Right, that's sort of your nearest major town, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Like London's pretty close too, but I prefer to just a nicer place to go to. And
right.
And I got some friends there still, and yeah, every Thursday we go and I meet up with. John Manley, the guy that runs Much Ado About Corona.
I got to get him on the call. Can you get him on a call?
I will. I'll try. He's writing a book, right? He's writing a fiction.
I know. He always says he's too busy, but he does. I get that a lot because I think people don't like my name, the fakeologist, but I get that a lot. But I've heard, I think he's been on other podcasts, so that can't be the reason.
Basically, he's got his blog and he does a lot of like journalistic type stuff, but he's been working on a fiction book. So a story that's sort of that's taking place in Canada in the context of the COVID-1984 operation, and very interesting. You know, it's kind of refreshing. I've actually read I was a beta reader for the book.
Yeah, I follow him. I get his emails, and I get tips from him all the time, so I like the guy. I think he's totally down with what's going on, so just tell him to come on. He has to, if you're an author, you got to promote yourself. So
least
I can. Tell him to wake up.
Yeah.
Promote himself, at least.
He's wrapping it up, and when he does the final release with the book.
But he should
definitely do a
promote it, man.
Interview. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
for sure.
It's getting late for me. I got my bedtime. You know what I say about keeping your health? That means keeping your sleep, even though I had a bit of a nap
today. Yeah, it's
almost
10. Okay.
Yeah, that's late for. It's getting late, so I got to publish the show. But great call. And,
good to talk to you.
Check in. Get. If he's afraid to come on by himself, maybe you guys can come on at the same time, that kind of thing. Tell him you're a regular on the show and you've approved me. That'll work.
And I'll try to get in touch with this, with, what's his name, Steve?
Steve 83. I don't have his email handy, but if you just go to FakoTube Chat, I don't know if you're registered on FakoTube Chat. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get...
I think so, yeah.
I'm having issues with FakoTube email because what happened is my email server gets rejected by Gmail, Google. Mm-hmm. And then so I switched it to Google, but I just noticed it wasn't working. So I used the Google server, but they're probably censoring me as well. So that wasn't working. So I went back to the old system. So if you use Gmail... you might not get a confirmation email, but I can still verify you manually. I might have to pay for an email server with a good reputation to get it working. That's all. But my point of this was mainly that you could leave a message for him maybe in the FakoTube chat, or I don't know if he's registered at Fakeologist, so I don't have his email. So Steve 83, if you're out there. I don't know, figure out, send me an email and I'll send it on to Peteroo. So.
Cool. All right.
Or join the Telegram or Discord. Yeah, everyone. Yeah. It's funny because fakeologists are scattered all across my platform. They're all over the place. So some are on FakoTube, some are on Fakeologist, some are on Discord. There's almost nobody on every forum.
Yeah. So it's hard, right?
It is a pain. Everywhere. I know it's a pain. Yeah. It is a pain.
Yeah.
So everyone has their favorite thing, which is great. So I just have to try and keep everything together. I know I ignore the forums, and So I'm gonna play out. Thank you, thanks Peteroo for calling in. Good call. That's what people come here for. They like the different voices. So good on you.
Cool. Yep. Take care, man.
All right. All the best to you.
Yep.
All right.
Have a good night.
Take care. And I'll just play this funny video here from that somebody put together.
All right.
So now two vaccines that are really quite effective. The mRNA vaccine, highly effective, extraordinarily efficacious, 94 to 95% for mild to moderate disease, and virtually 100% efficacious. Because the real world effectiveness is even more impressive than the results of the clinical trial. Clarify that with people. It has nothing to do whether or not it's effective. We know it's highly effective. Highly effective. Come on, man.